With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, it can be a bit embarrassing to talk about it, but an estimated 800,000 Irish people suffer with constipation. And here now with the answers to why you can't go, which is the title of her new book, is gut health expert and dietitian Lorraine Cooney. Lorraine, you are very welcome along to the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
I think before we even got there, I've already burnt the ear off you. I've like, and this, and this, and this, and this. You're like, okay, we have a lot to get through today, which we do. Look, Lorraine, gut health is really trendy these days. Mm-hmm. Is that a good or a bad thing for an expert like you?
Oh, it is trendy, but rightly so. This is not a fad. This is changing how we look and perceive health and wellness and how we're going to treat disease. So it's not just about digestion when mm-hmm. we talk about the gut. It's about your immune system. It's about your microbiome. And in fact, your gut is linked to every organ in your body. So it's related to nearly every disease out there. And there's a lot of information to cut through.
Yeah.
It's relatively new as a science, but it's also very, very complex.
Okay, well, let's try and actually bust a couple of the unhealthy myths that are out there. Like, is there a certain amount of times per day that we should be going to the toilet, or a set length of time between eating and passing your food?
So this is one of the biggest misconceptions, that you have to pass a bowel motion every day. Some people do, and that's great. But scientists would say that the range of normal is between anywhere between 3 and 21 bowel motions per week.
3 and 21?
Let that sink in. That's a
that
lot.
That is a lot.
So it's a huge variation between people. So long as it feels good for you, it feels complete, you don't have a lot of gut symptoms, and you get about your day, that's your normal rhythm. And it doesn't matter where between that 3 and 21 it is,
okay.
So long as it's easy to pass and all of that.
Okay. There are some phrases in your book that I absolutely love. You call constipation a web of intrigue. Which, let's dissect that.
Well, sometimes people might just think constipation is caused by not eating enough fibre. Mm-hmm. But that's just one little part of the story. Yes, food is really important. There's about 4 chapters dedicated to food in the book. But food is just one part. It can be related to not giving your bowel enough time, being in a hurry all the time. Your bowel will revolt to being hurried.
Mm-hmm.
It can be related to hormones. It can be related to hydration. It can be related to anxiety and stress, medical conditions. So it's a big, complex picture. And for each individual, it's worth kind of looking at that big picture to see what's going on for them.
What you just said there is all about not rushing your bowel. Like, I mean, obviously, like, I feel like, and I know a lot of my friends do as well, like, it just has a mind of its own. You know, it's kind of like, if you're come on, let's go, it's never going to happen. then you're stuck for days.
Because you might get into the habit of ignoring the urge, or you might be able to leave your job or what you're doing at the particular time when you get that subtle sign that, hey, your bowel wants to move. It's really important to heed that signal, because that is your go to the bathroom now.
ASAP.
Yes, exactly. Because you might lose it, or you might get into the habit of ignoring it, and that can maybe slow down your natural rhythms that you'd expect to.
When you feel it coming on at any stage, then that's when you kind of just need to go and listen to it there and then.
Yeah, particularly if you suffer with constipation, that's something you should heed.
Yeah, ASAP. The book is very lighthearted in places, but it is a serious condition that we're talking about. What are some of the consequences of constipation? I know that you mentioned a couple there that, like, it can of serious effects on your health.
Yeah, it can make you feel unwell. You can have a lot of gas and bloating and cramping, pain, nausea. But if it's left there to linger, it can cause more serious issues like hemorrhoids or something called an anal fissure or impaction. And that can just make you feel really bad, and that would need to get treated medically. So it's all about, if you have got symptoms, talk to your GP, try and figure out what's going on. Don't let it go on in the background, because you don't want to suffer unnecessarily.
And because obviously it's such a taboo topic, like, nobody talks toilet talk. And, you know, it's very rare that you'll speak to your friends if you're going through something. So you tend to suffer in silence. But if it is going on, like you said, should you be going to your GP? Because it's not just a small issue.
Oh, absolutely. It's very easy to normalise the abnormal and say, oh, that's just me. That's how I work. I'm just going to ignore that and put up with it.
Yeah.
But the opposite is true. Your comfort and, you know, your ability to live your life normally and eat freely and be happy and content can be related to your bowel. So don't let it fester in the background. Try and pick a language that's easy for you to tell your GP that there's an issue, whether it's number twos or going to the bathroom. They'll know. They see this day in and day out. And particularly if you saw signs like a lot of gas, pain, blood in your stool, or a lot of weight loss, things that just don't seem right, it's always just worthwhile going and have a quick chat with your GP.
Yeah, absolutely. Get that checked out. Why should we aim to eat 30 plants a week? And should they be different, 30 different plants?
Yeah, this kind of like new buzzword with diet is diversity. And that diversity is 30 different plants. I wouldn't get hung up on the numbers.
Okay.
But it's all your different grains, fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds and pulses, all these beautiful plant-based foods that feed your gut microbes. And that's a sign of a healthy gut.
Okay.
A healthy gut is better digestion, better immune system, better overall health, well-being, better mood. So that's why there's an emphasis on trying to encourage people to eat more plants in their diet these days.
I think just chopping everything up and throwing it into a salad and running with it, because you kind of are tricking yourself into eating all these things then without realising, and they can be incredibly tasty.
Yeah, and there's a whole range of foods to choose from. So I meet a lot of people who eat grains and fruit and vegetables, but maybe not have many beans or nuts or seeds in their diet, and they can just go a long way in terms of bumping up those numbers.
One of the main aspects of the book is data, and with a habit tracker and a fiber log and stuff like that, how does that information like help like your patients?
Yeah, I think so. If we ask somebody to change something with their diet, it can come into the realms of behaviour change. You need to do something that's maybe difficult to do, or have to change your habits, or it can be inconvenient. So a habit tracker is just a way of writing down your goal of what you want to change and monitoring it over time. So it can just be motivating to see how well you're doing and to see the trends. Because we need to do something consistently for probably 2 or 3 months for it to become easier for us to do it. So as humans, we do find it hard to change our habits, but sometimes changing your habits can be what you need to do to help improve gut symptoms, for example.
Also, I think we get really impatient, like for something that we wouldn't have done for 30 years. And then all of a sudden we're like, well, I want the change to happen now. But like, the change isn't going to happen one day of eating good fiber and having good hydration. It's going to take a bit of time.
Yeah, it's all about consistency and sticking with it and finding what works for you as well. So you might enjoy different things. Some people like eating kiwis, other people like having linseeds, other people like mangoes. It's really an individual thing. So different strokes for different folks couldn't be more truer than when it comes to gut symptoms and managing your gut health.
Dunner's from The Breakfast Show, just the mention of kiwis there, he's a big advocate for kiwis with the skin on. Does that work? Like, what's the source here? Because I slag him so much about this.
That's great. Because there's a lot of really nice research that's been published on kiwis and their effectiveness in helping treat constipation.
Okay.
Because they tend to hold on to water as they pass down through the bowel, and they have a laxating effect, and they're very gentle, so they don't worsen gut symptoms. And if you eat the skin, it just means an extra hit of fiber. But 2 kiwis a day can be enough to keep constipation at bay.
Did not know this.
Yeah, and they're great.
I'm really hoping that he's not listening right now, because I'll have to apologise to him. I'm always making fun of him for this. Going low and slow when introducing fibre, like, is that the best policy? I know, like, fibre, and I feel like a lot of, like, you know, brands will just slap, like, your fibre intake is, you know, on the box of something to try and get you to do it. But if we do too much too quick, is that also as bad for us?
Oh, yeah, because your gut can revolt, particularly if you've got a sensitive gut. If mm-hmm. you've got too hard, too fast, you might get more gas, more pain, more bloating, etc. So slow and low is the way to go.
Yeah.
So start with small amounts, maybe one new food every 3 to 5 days. Take a half portion at first and then just build it up and keep doing that, trying to keep stacking all these new fibre foods into your diet. Because research would show if you persevere and push through a little bit, you do train your gut to tolerate more fibre in your diet. And that's a really great message to get out there. We can have more, but you don't have to go too fast. It doesn't have to be bucket and bucket loads of something.
Okay.
You just be this kind of mixing up the types that you have and trying to enjoy the foods that you eat.
On top of that, like, you know, putting in all this extra fiber, we need to be getting extra fluids into our system and making sure our hydration is up to scratch for helping combat constipation.
Yeah, and it works really well with fiber. So they are very compatible. Fluid and fiber work together and probably work better when they are together.
Okay.
But if you're dehydrated, you are at risk of constipation. So
yeah, because there's nothing pushing it out, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we need water.
We, like, a lot of people are going on holidays at the minute, and mm-hmm. you know, they're gearing up to get on their holidays. And I know that when people go abroad and they're out of routine, that can really throw them, and then it can have a massive impact on your holiday. Is there anything you can be doing before heading away? Is it just implementing, you know, like the low and slow with the fibre, the extra hydration before they get on a flight to help with that?
Yeah, and try to continue that on during holidays. Yeah. So if you do change scenery, your bowel knows about it. It's so clever and so sensitive and so annoying. But your fruits are going to be helpful. So having 3 or 4 portions of fruit per day,
okay.
staying hydrated, trying to still have regular meals. And you can maybe bring a fiber supplement with you. Something called psyllium husks can be really, really good to try and keep it soft and going through your bowel at a a normal time.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than being on holidays and it just ruining it. Because I mean, we've spoken about it at the, you know, at the beginning of this chat as well, that your mind and your gut are linked and stuff, and you start to feel foggy and you don't want it to be ruined.
Yeah, the idea is if it goes for longer than 3 days, try and intervene.
Okay.
Maybe food isn't working because the change of scenery, everything else. So maybe you can get an over-the-counter laxative that can work in the short term just to get things moving and you get your rhythm back and you will feel a lot better.
Okay, so something like that just to essentially get yourself cleared out and back to scratch again.
Yeah, and things like regular meals and hydration really play a role there. And try and, you know, take time to relax. Your bowel will thank you.
Yeah, chill out and then it'll chill out. Eating behaviours are another huge, important part of the story. What are some things for anyone who is listening out there to think about right now?
So we're primed to move waste through the bowel after eating. So if you're skipping meals, you sort of like can disconnect from your body's natural rhythms. So having 3 regular meals per day is really, really important if you suffer with a slow bowel. That's breakfast, lunch and dinner. Try not to be grazing, try not to do a lot of nighttime eating, and you will be in sync with your body and something called your circadian rhythm, which is your internal bodily clock. And it's expectation that you will eat at sort of regular times and then everything works inside in terms of rhythms, fluid, enzymes, etc.
Okay, so the biggest takeaways for anybody listening today are low and slow with your fibre, up your fluid intake, and just give it time, about 3 months to get yourself into the rhythm of it. But like, living with constipation just isn't normal.
It's not normal and it's not nice and it's definitely not fun, but you can do so much about it. And different things work for different people. So it's a little bit of an experimental thing, but there's so many strategies that you can use to try and get over your sluggish bowel.
What about exercise? Does that help avoid constipation?
There's not a lot of strong data, but yes, I would say weight-bearing exercise is pretty good in terms of helping maybe motility in the gut. Okay. So a lot of people would find it helpful. So, but you're never not going to say don't do any activity.
Yeah.
Regular activity is always going to be helpful, if not for gut motility, for our mood and how we're functioning as humans, and de-stressing.
And exactly. And de-stressing, as we're learning, will de-stress your gut that has its own head.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's got going on. Lorraine, thank you so much for joining me today. That was gut health expert and dietitian Lorraine Cooney. Her new book, Why You Can't Go, is out right now.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.